Rainmaker FM.
Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome to episode number 105 of The Showrunner. We are back. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Copyblogger and Studio Press, and I am joined, as I always am, by my partner here on The Showrunner, the great Johnny Naster. Johnny, welcome back. I know we had to take a couple-week hiatus, but I know I am, I know you are. We are excited to be back talking podcasting again here on The Showrunner.
It is good to be back.
It is.
It's been a bit of a hiatus, but this is, what's today when the episode comes out? It is
the 13th,
I believe.
Yes.
Of September. Good, because a listener, Jeff Adams, reached out to us in the past couple weeks wondering when we were coming back, and then said that if it took us too long, his podcast is hitting episode 105 on October 9th, and he was warning us that he was going to lap us.
Ooh.
But it looks like we're staying ahead, Jeff.
We are. We are. And hey, we also have exciting news that the Showrunner podcasting course is coming back. So in fact, next week, the 20th, we will be reopening the course. We're going to open it for a week, so it'll be open from the 20th to the 27th. This will give you a chance to get in there and learn, you know, as many of the lessons, Johnny, as you and I have learned and put into that course. It's a guidebook that a lot of people have used to build up their podcast and get to episode 100 and beyond. And so we're excited to reopen that up. A lot of you have been asking about it. You know, when will it be open? When can I get back in? And that will be on the 20th. And so we advise you to go to showrunner.fm and get your name on that email list. Get your email address on there. You'll get some goodies when you do that. There's a really interesting autoresponder that asks you some tough questions that that you should ask yourself and that you should answer. You also get our guide to launching a remarkable podcast, so you want to check all of that out. Again, that's at showrunner.fm, and then when we launch on the 20th, you'll get a notification so that you can get in there and make sure that you get in and give the course a try before the doors close on the 27th. So we're very excited about that. So obviously this episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by The Showrunner Podcasting Course, which is coming out next week.
I'm excited. It's been a long time since we opened the doors. And we've been quiet on this front, the podcast front, and the course sort of front, but we got some big, exciting things coming starting next week.
You know what I've really missed more than anything is the Q&As that you and I used to do. I used to love those. Do you,
lunchtime ones, I think.
Yeah, the lunchtime ones, and we would do them on Blab, and they were so much fun, and we'd get questions ahead of time, and then people would show up. Man, I really, really liked those and really enjoyed those, and I was bummed when, you know, our schedules both just got to the point where we kind of couldn't swing those anymore, but I look forward to getting back. I don't know if we'll be able to do them weekly, certainly in the beginning, but we're definitely going to do some, and I can't wait for those. They're so much fun, so, and hopefully a great experience for all the people that are there, so.
And live, which brings, it always brings interesting things. I'm thinking of a couple, like, what I find humorous things that had happened during those, and yeah, that's what makes them, it's exciting. It is cool. And I miss those too. I miss Blab in general,
I
miss those live Q&As we got to do with the podcasters. Yeah.
I do too. Well, and if you're a member of the course, you'll be able to do those. So yeah, go to showrunner.fm, get on that list, and then we will send you information when the course opens next week. But for this week's episode, Johnny, I want to talk to you about interviews. You've done how many interviews now? What are we up to with Hack the Entrepreneur as of this recording?
367 at publishing.
367.
So getting close to 400 recordings.
Man, it's amazing. That's a lot of interviews, and you've obviously learned a lot of lessons. And I've told many people, you know, I really, ever since I started podcasting, I've really tried to study interviews and how to ask better questions and how to, you know, how to conduct an interview, how to pace an interview, how to prepare for an interview, how to schedule them, you know, so many things. And there are so many great mentors out there, you know, not necessarily people that I know, but people whose work that, you know, that I've watched and admired. And there's still no one that I have learned more about interviews from than you. And part of that, obviously, is just the, you know, the intense amount of time that you and I have spent together on these shows, doing the course, talking about interviews. And so I've learned so much of from your process. And so I always really enjoy these episodes where we take a step back and kind of mine your experience and your knowledge and your wisdom of interviews. And you wrote an article for Copyblogger back in July. It was called How to Conduct Not to Miss Podcast Interviews. And we haven't had a chance to talk about that yet here on the podcast. So I basically wanted to take that article and bring it here and talk through some of these ideas that you put in the article, because I thought it was a really well done piece. And again, I always learn a ton from you whenever we talk about interviews.
Oh, thanks, man. It's interviews to me are one of those hard things, like, especially, I mean, it's awesome when somebody tells you they learn from the way you do it or part of it. But to me, it's completely endlessly about learning and just always sort of proactively trying to get better, because it, to me, it's like a relationship or conversations in general, right? There's, I don't think there's a place where you just reach and all of a sudden it's like, well, there, I know how to do it now. And I think if you do think that, then that's kind of part of the mistake. So to me, it's an endless journey that's obviously come a long ways in 3 years of doing interviews now, from having never done one before. But yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. And I think just approaching it with sort of that mindset of it's always about just sort of learning and getting better and having fun with it. And I think that will push you to sort of your next levels.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest lessons that I learned from you is actually the third point in this piece. I'm looking at it right now. It's a third point in this piece. So I look forward to getting to that and talking about that with you, because this is a lesson that I learned from you way back when we first started with the Showrunner. But before we get to that, let's start from the beginning here with this piece. Again, it's called How to Conduct Not to Miss Podcast Interviews. We will put it in the show notes. If you just want the URL, it's copyblogger.com/podcast-interviews. So you can go to it right there. But let's talk about the first section, which is do the work and let it go. Talk to us about the work that goes into a good interview, both the preparation that you do and then how you allow that preparation to work for you when you're in the interview, in the midst of the interview, rather than overwhelming you.
Yeah, so it's, everybody wants that sort of interview that sounds 100% natural, like it's a conversation, and that, like, nobody's looking at their notes. And to me, that comes from an understanding. So again, think back to like a relationship with anyone. If you sit down for coffee with somebody you have an existing relationship with, the conversation can naturally flow. But if you instantly sit down with somebody you don't know anything about, it's a difficult conversation. One thing, because you could potentially be just asking very simple questions that don't need to be asked. And it doesn't allow anyone to sort of warm up. And with podcasting, obviously you have a listener that needs to be engaged at all times. So you need to sort of speed up this process of warming up your guest who doesn't know you. You don't know them personally per se, but you need to get this process going quickly and then be able to get them to open up and share like they would with a friend. And to me, that takes prep work and research beforehand about your guest. And the only point, though, is, and this is where it kind of twists, is to do the work, then let it go, is to do this research and have sort of this baseline. If you want to sort of like map it out a little bit on a sheet of paper beside you or something to kind of give you sort of a roadmap to go off of. But after you've done that research and you feel like you know about your guest, then it's time to let that stuff go and not be like shuffling through papers, scrolling through docs on your computer as you're doing an interview, but let it go and know that you have sort of that baseline understanding and appreciation for your guest and what they know and what they like and how you can make them sort of open up. And to me, it really gives you the confidence to know that, right? So rather than sitting down cold, it's like, you're like, wow, I've studied this person. I know this, I know what they've answered in their last three interviews. And so I know not to ask the exact same questions, or I could even refer back to one of those to them. And they'll be like, cause that will allow them to be like, wow, this John's actually like researched me or put some work into this. So I'm going to reciprocate that and put the work back. So it really is to have these natural conversations that sound like they have no research or no sort of guidelines behind them. Always to me have a lot of it behind them and a lot of research and a lot of studying and a lot of really knowing your guest, and then dumping it all and letting the conversation sort of take place from that baseline of understanding.
Yeah, as you say here, once the interview begins, your job is to be fully present in the conversation. So let go of your research. Following your notes is distracting. And this has been an important lesson I know that I have learned, and I still very much enjoy doing prep before an interview. I think it's necessary. I often like to write out questions, and I'll especially write out an introductory question and an ending question. And then, you know, maybe a few other questions or a few other topics in there that I want to get to. And I find that doing that gives me some confidence, gives me some security that if for whatever reason, you know, if I'm in the middle of the interview and the guest is done and it comes back to me and I have that moment where I don't know what to say, and there's, I know that's a fear that all of us have, that's going to happen. I can always rely on my notes, but I don't have to just go off them one by one, station to station, one question to the next. When I was first doing interviews, I very much did that and felt like that. And I felt like the conversations were very wooden. They weren't relaxed. I never really got into the flow with the person. But learning to find the balance, to have that there kind of as security and just to refer to if I need it, but to really focus on being present and listening to what the person says and allowing that to dictate where the interview goes has really, really helped. So I just want to second, you know, what you're saying here and also highlight that, you know, you've done 300 and some interviews. I've done many hundreds of interviews now myself. And getting comfortable interviewing isn't going to come all at once. And, you know, especially if you're just starting out, you may have a hard time being present in the conversation because there's so many things going on in your head and you're, you know, you want to make sure that it's recording properly and you're, you know, hoping that the person doesn't come and mow the lawn and make noise. And then what's the next question? Like there's all these things that can be going on, but just know that it does get better. And with practice, you get better at relaxing into the conversation. And when you've done that prep work, you know, to really know about the person and to understand the context, that's going to help you, you know, come up with that next question, know what to say, and just make it a conversation. So allow that experience to do its work. Just keep doing interviews and it will get better.
So interesting that you mentioned this. So the whole like sign point sort of thing, like how you say you have a couple questions mapped out mm-hmm. for yourself. I have four of them right now still for Hack the Entrepreneur that, I mean, a beginning and an ending that have to be asked. It's just the way I've structured it. That's sort of the journey I want to take the listener on. And then two other ones that I sort of like, I'm going to say 90% of the time hit on those. If the conversation is veering into a better direction naturally, then I'll allow it to go there and sort of push it. But I do want to do those. But it's funny when you think, when you say like, when you're starting out having those questions, because I had never interviewed anybody in my life when I started Hack the Entrepreneur, and I was freaked out. I was like, I would do the research. Well, I didn't even have to do the research actually for my first 30 guests because I wanted to talk to those people so badly. I had followed them. I had like read their books. I had read everything and followed their products, everything I wanted. I knew these people. But I have those four questions now. I think when I started, I can probably find it in Google Docs, but I think I had between like 20 and 30 questions on a sheet at the beginning because I kind of – it worked out that it was like they sort of followed this path of these four sort of posts, but there was like five questions in each one because I was always freaked out that they would just stop talking and then I would just – not know, but this way I was like, okay, I'll have these questions ready and I'll know where I want to bring the conversation. Yeah. And so obviously after like 40 or 50 of them, then I was like, okay, this is going to get way, because this is way too wooden and I just need to, but it was like, it was literally the only way I could get my head around doing it. So if that's what it takes for you to do it and to feel confident doing it, by all means. And know that as you get more comfortable in it, you're going to just be deleting questions because they're just going to kind of clutter up your space in your head as you're trying to have this natural conversation. But absolutely, 3 years ago, that's what I did. It's kind of embarrassing, but that's how it had to happen. Otherwise, I would not be kind of where I am today.
Hey, it is not embarrassing. That was your journey, Johnny, and look where it's gotten you. Nothing embarrassing
True.
About it.
I forget about it. That's all. Because as you mentioned, it's like, oh, wow, that's totally where I started. That's exactly what I had to do. And I've been thinking about it a lot lately because actually yesterday from the day we're recording was my 3-year anniversary of Hack the Entrepreneur. And so it's kind of like, wow, it's been 3 years. So
it's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
I've done a lot of interviews since then.
All right. So speaking of questions. You know, obviously that is one of the most common questions that we get is, you know, what kind of questions should I ask an interview? How should I structure my questions? What makes for a good interview question? And it's a question I ask a lot. I did an interview with Chris Boyd, who hosts the radio show here in Dallas. That's also a great podcast, Think. If you go back in the Showrunner archives, that is there, and we'll put that in the show notes. But that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask her because she always has such wonderfully constructed questions that are economical in their language, but just so filled with meaning and places that the guest can take it and with context and with understanding of the guest. I mean, they're really these great questions. And obviously, and you mentioned this in your article, Johnny, to get interesting responses, you have to ask the right questions. If you just ask a series of yes or no questions, it's not going to lead to a very interesting interview. So in your experience, what is the best way to ask questions that will get interesting responses from your guests?
So it's obviously to avoid that whole yes and no sort of response. And you just did it to me, which was, you didn't say, is there a way to ask questions to get a better response? Because I would have said, yes, there is.
Good. Let's move on.
And, you know what I mean? It's really this easy to me where it's asking those questions to get people to open up, right? It's that opening up. And when they open up, and even if they stop, then is maybe getting them to continue further. But it's questions with the like what, how, or why. Almost any question followed by one of those three words can't be answered properly with yes or no. It's sort of an explanation. It sort of pushes people to need to explain themselves and be comfortable explaining themselves, right? So everybody does their show differently. Like everybody hosts it differently. Everybody tries to run their show differently. My guess is if you've been listening to this show, you're trying to get that sort of authentic connection with your audience. Therefore, you need to get it with your guest. But not everybody thinks like that as a showrunner. Not everybody thinks as a showrunner. And so they don't necessarily want their guests to open up enough. They want to control it too much, the conversation. And so you need to, again, this is making your guests comfortable, knowing and sort of allowing them to really open up and tell stories and sort of really explain like what it is they're thinking. Like, what was it like? How did that feel? Or why did you do that? If somebody answers your question and tells you exactly what they did, then you could say, well, why did you do that? Like, I would love the thought process behind that. And then people will just, they love to share and they love to open up. They love to know that you're listening. And so it really is about just making sure those questions don't allow for a simple yes or no question. And so to me, and in the post, I describe how it's what, how, and why. Structure your questions like that. Literally just think about it even in that way, and you will totally avoid the one-answer questions and be able to push your guests to really, really share truly their thoughts and sort of their feelings behind the answer.
Yeah, and another one that goes along with that, I can't remember if it was Alex Bloomberg or Ira Glass, when talking about the art of interviewing, they were saying that they often use, you know, tell me about a time when, and that is often a prompt that gets a story going, you know, from the guest. So anything like that. Yeah, I mean, you want to make people feel comfortable and then ask them questions that lead them into, you know, telling that kind of story, exploring an idea, that kind of thing. And that's what will get you the kind of questions that you want or the kind of answers that you want. All right. So I mentioned before, Johnny, that the third section that we were going to talk about is one of the most important lessons that I feel like you have taught me about interviews. And so let me ask you, speaking of questions, you pose a question here in the subhead of this piece, which is, can silence produce better podcast interviews? Now, this would seem like an ironic question to be answered with yes, because, you know, you only get value from an interview if there is talking and if people are explaining themselves. That's where the value comes from. So how, if the answer to this is yes, how can silence actually produce better podcast interviews? What does that mean?
I think it allows, like, the listener to sort of stop.
I just checked to see if we were still recording there. Well done.
you like lobbed the ball at me. It was there. So if we truly want real responses, if we truly want somebody to share in a way that's like open and free, then we have to allow them time to think of that answer. If you don't want those things and you just kind of say them because they sound good, then yeah, of course, cut them off and just get to the next question. But to me, if you're asking really good questions because you want really good answers, those things sometimes take time. They take time to kind of feel out the moment for the person thinking it and them knowing that you're not going to just cut them off if they don't just immediately say what comes to their mind. And that's what's going to stop you from sort of getting those proper responses. And so it's a thing that it's actually a thing that I know lots of people are stuck on. I think because as podcast listeners, sometimes we listen to it with apps that cut out the blank spots even, or listen to it really fast because we're trying to condense this time. And you can do that as a listener, but when you're being the showrunner and actually sitting down to record these, ignore all of that. And don't ignore like your listener in that sense, but you need to get them the best out of your guest. That's your job, is to get them whatever it is and however that can come out of the person, but that needs to organically come out. And that does take time. That just requires you to leave that space. And if somebody wants to deal with that space afterwards, then by all means, I mean, even if you want, you can get your editor, or when you're editing your show, you can take that space out so it tightens it up, which I don't do. It's very specific that I want that space. I want that awkward space sort of in there, because to me, it also does, like when I did that space a couple minutes ago, all of a sudden, everybody kind of checks their, and you're all of a sudden brought back into the conversation. Like, what just happened? It's like, oh, John was just taking a moment to respond. That's all.
What's that called? I think it's like a pattern interruption. There's a term for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a pattern interruption from, what is that, NLP? So, and it works. But to me, that's sort of the side benefit of it, because it does do that to the listener. But to me, it really gives the guest confidence that you are there to really get the best out of them. That you really truly are there to listen, and you're not just worrying about filling up the space or getting the next one recorded or getting the next question out. You're giving them that room. I've let people sit for awkwardly for like more than 5 seconds, and then all of a sudden they just start talking again. And there was nothing awkward about it. They were really just putting thought into it. And it really, really does work, but it is awkward. It's hard. It's a hard thing to kind of start doing, but you leave that space, and it does give the rewards back to you, and it's absolutely worth it.
So if you're looking for a call to action from this episode, something that you can take right now and put into practice, obviously what we just talked about, you know, with questions, you know, the what, how, why question, that would be a great one. But consider this, and this comes right from the post, Johnny. The next time you are having a conversation with a friend or coworker, try this small three-step experiment. Number one, ask, what did you do last night? Number two, listen attentively until they stop talking. And number three, in your head, count to five. And nearly every single time you do this, you will find your friend will start talking again and typically elaborate on their previous answer. So if you want to see this in action, maybe you want to get comfortable and do it and try it out before you're actually doing an interview, try that just to see. And I have no doubt, and I've seen this happen many, many times in podcast interviews, and I have no doubt that even just doing this in real life, you will see it too, and that may give you some confidence to then take it to an interview that you're doing.
I totally missed that example on my post, but yeah, that is. It's to me, yeah, use these things in real life because it is really hard to do sometimes when you're on the mic with somebody you don't know. So if you can sort of, this is the same process with sort of learning how to like sell and like it's kind of doing it in real life and sort of in your day-to-day interactions, getting better at it, and then bringing that confidence back with you to your job or your show for that matter. But to sort of like a great supplement to this post, actually, which it doesn't tie in necessarily, but it's kind of further reading, and it will tell you different questions to ask and things. But right after I wrote this post, I met this great author who lives in Toronto here, Michael Stanier, and he wrote The Coaching Habit, which is Say Less, Ask More, and Change the Way You Lead Forever. So he teaches people, executives mostly, how to coach and how to lead their teams. But this book is all based on, I believe it's 7 questions. And it's fascinating to me as like an interviewer, because he goes into the like the what questions and the how and really getting people to open up rather than be sort of the like the executive or the boss that just kind of wants to direct sort of the person and the answers the way they want them to. It's to really allow the person to sort of direct it themselves, which will give them the confidence to open up more and get better answers. And it's this whole short book about getting better answers by asking better questions, and really like tells you like, and what else? Like just following up things with that, which is the greatest thing I've ever done for my interviews since I've just started asking people that, where they give a great question and it's like, and what else? And because lots of times you get a guest on the show and they're answering, and then all of a sudden they feel like I've been talking too long, but really they haven't. But we kind of think that self-consciously, like, oh, I should just stop talking. And you're like, no, but what else? And it really is like, oh, wow. Like he really wants to hear what I have to say. And it really like the gold you kind of get after that is invaluable to me. And so it's a great book to kind of, obviously, we don't need to all be coaches. That's not the point of it. But it's literally just a book about 7 questions, really simple questions to really kind of cut to the root of what things are happening and underlying in people's heads and lives. And it's great for taking that and then putting it into the context of an interview.
So you,
I just thought I'd throw that in there.
No, that's great. That was great. So you end this post with your simplest advice. And I love this advice. I don't know if you remember it, but I'll give you a moment here to go back and review it in the post because I want to talk about it real quick. But it reminds me of, there's an author, Michael Pollan, who has written a bunch of great books about food. He wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma and In Defense of Food, all these great books. And he basically boiled down his entire advice about food and how to eat into 7 words. Eat food, mostly plants, not too much. It's just this great, short, easy to remember, wonderful advice that just works. And you know, anytime I'm, you know, I feel like out of whack with my eating, I remember that. Okay, eat food, mostly plants, not too much. That's really easy. And what you have here for your simplest advice, it's not quite that short. It's like a few words more than Michael Pollan had, but it's just as effective. And it's really good. So do you remember what this advice is?
Yeah, my simplest advice boils down to ask a good question, listen attentively, and sit quietly. Let's try that again. Ask a good question, listen attentively, and sit quietly.
Yes. Ask a good question, listen attentively, and sit quietly. It's great. I mean, that's that right there. If when you go into interviews, if you just think about that, or even shoot, say that as a mantra before you're getting ready to do an interview. Ask a good question, listen attentively, and sit quietly. That will put you on the right track to conducting great interviews. Obviously, you need to do the research and, you know, you need to understand your guest, but that is all kind of included there in ask a good question. You know, you do all that, you'll be able to ask a good question. You begin it with a good question. Then if you listen and sit quietly and you've done your preparation, you're going to be able to conduct good interviews. And I know that sometimes conducting an interview can seem a little bit intimidating, can seem more difficult than that. But once you've done it for a while, you know, you realize that it really does boil down to that essence. And so that is the most important thing to take from this episode is that line. Ask a good question, listen attentively, and sit quietly. And as you mentioned in the post, and obviously have fun. You know, I mean, hopefully you're doing a show on a topic that you're passionate about. And Johnny, like you said, when you started Hack the Entrepreneur, you know, the first 30 people that you interviewed were all these people that you'd just been dying to interview. And these were probably conversations that you had had in your mind already. So you had all these questions ready to go. You knew what you wanted to ask them. And that's a great on-ramp to doing successful interviews for your show. You know, if it's about a topic that you love and you're interviewing people that you're genuinely interested in, you know, if you have a genuine interest, that's gonna come across, and that's really gonna, you know, basically take you 75-80% of the way to a good interview. And then you've just got to do your, you know, do your research, and really focus on listening, and you're gonna be able to conduct really, really good interviews consistently for your show.
Absolutely. And then you can be 3 years later down the road with almost 400 interviews under your belt if that's what you're striving for.
That's right. It's crazy.
Because it really, it's, yeah, I mean, even at 1,000 interviews, I'm not just going to be like, well, there, I know how to interview it. It's just not going to happen. And to me, that's the fascinating part about it. No. And the idea that as you learn to ask that good question, I start to understand that the better the question, it's usually the simpler the question. Like it's not some elaborate, super deep, wacky. It's just really just allowing that person to let go and just allowing them to kind of share. And that's really all you need to do. If that can be done in 2 or 3 words, then by all means, that's how it should be done. It doesn't need to be something like, I don't know, huge. So it's amazing, man. I love it. And I think that's part of it. You really have to have fun with the interviews themselves, interviewing as a process, and then just being able to share that with your audience as you build it.
What else?
I'm going to say that you should sign up for the Showrunner podcasting course because it's live.
No, it will be live.
It will be live. Well, then you should grab the 9-step guide to running a remarkable or to launching a remarkable podcast.
That's right. Go to showrunner.fm. Hey, Johnny, what was it like that one time when you told Showrunner listeners that the podcasting course was live when in reality it's not going to be live until next week? What was that like? Tell me about that time.
It was a moment I don't want to relive if I don't have to. But it seems that I do. So I'm going to say that the podcasting course should be open right now. It's beyond my control that it's not, but if I had my say, it would be open right now for all of you. It's Jared is in control. So he wants you to get the 9-step guide to beginner's guide to launching a remarkable podcast, because it actually is a really killer ebook that we put out, and thousands of people have downloaded it and learned from it. So you can get that, and for the next 7 days you can dive into that, reply to any emails, ask us questions if you have any deeper questions about it, and then know that 7 days and counting from now the podcasting course is coming live for just 1 week.
That's right. Go to showrunner.fm. We will talk to you all next week.